Our sermon text for this Sunday will be taken from the Gospel of John, chapter 20. And we're going to read verses 24 through 31. Oh, so I did go 24. Well, then I'm not going to do Jim's part. There we go. I feel better yet. I didn't want to feel like I was second-guessing anybody, but Jim preached from 19 to 23 2 weeks ago. So we're going to read this in Jesus' name. The Gospel of John, chapter 20, beginning at verse 24, continuing in Jesus' name. And you can remain seated because I messed this all up anyway. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were within, Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, Peace be unto you. He then said unto Thomas, Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side. And be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord, my God. Jesus said unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, yet believe. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. Amen. Amen. Gracious Heavenly Father, we ask that you would just strengthen us in and through this word. We ask that you would sanctify us in the truth because we know, Father, above and beyond all else, your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Last week, we heard Brother Ed. He's preached from Luke, and I was here for that. I was able to come and listen, which was a blessing. And he preached from Luke 24, verses 36 through 47. He spoke to us very strongly about the love of God and about the aspect of receiving the Holy Spirit and being equipped. Jim also preached on this, and I love that. I love that three different pastors can come up here, and their word will be consistent. And Jim spoke very strongly, and I'm not picking on anybody, I think this is something that we should really acknowledge. He spoke strongly about the aspect of repentance being important, and that is absolutely the truth. And that's really what he speaks about up here in 19 through 23. The power given to the church to be able to enter into this world, to reaffirm, to establish the forgiveness of sins in and through Jesus Christ. It's amazing. But when I heard these two messages, it really made me ponder at times that sometimes I struggle. Sometimes I just have difficulty believing. And I can become overwhelmed. We've been studying in Revelation. We're going through the book of Revelation in morning Bible study here. And when you deal with that book, it's an interesting book that we can see has a lot of fear often in it. That people take in a fearful way. But really, when you look at the book, if you were to look at it in its correct perspective, it's always saying that we win in Jesus Christ. And even the aspect of the what we would call doom and gloom is a call. It's a call to allow people to know God, to turn, to repent. One of the problems that we have, though, is repentance. Quite often, we've kind of muddled that up a little bit. Sometimes we have in our minds an understanding of what repentance should be. Sometimes our tradition dictates that to us. Sometimes as individuals or as a body, we can turn around and expect people to go through these certain hoops and loops, and then their repentance is good enough. I love how Apostle Paul says, brothers, do you not know it is God that calls a man through the goodness of God they are called to repentance. Through the goodness of God. To know His goodness, to know the love that He offers to us, to know the sacrifice that was paid for each and every one of us. To understand repentance is not just an emotional thing, but rather it is a call and is a turnabout, a change of heart, a change of mind. That is extremely powerful. Our text picks up very strongly in this understanding of now the apostles, we call them the 12, but there was only 10 technically when Christ showed up the first time here. Because we know that Judas Iscariot was not there, and we now know that Thomas was not there. It picks up saying Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, a twin, he was not with them when Jesus came. He was not present when he gave him this commission. But I love really how Ed brought this out very strongly too. Do you notice every time Jesus shows up on the scene? He says, peace. Peace be unto you. Is that something that the church continues in? That we bring this message of peace to a fallen world, to a fallen people, that God is not seeking to destroy, but rather to bring peace. That is so important. Because He came to bring restoration for each and every one. But Thomas was not there. He wasn't there to receive this first message of peace. But yet they turn around and they're telling Thomas about it. They're excited. They say, we've seen the Lord. He came here. The other disciples, they explain it to him. We've seen the Lord. But he turns around and Thomas makes a very bold statement. He says, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails and put my finger actually into that print, to feel it, to know it. He says, and thrust my hand into the side. He's adamant. I will not believe. I will not. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine running into someone that's so obstinate? It's hard to believe in our day and age, isn't it? Because we're all so willing. I don't know how you would deal with it, but I know in my flesh, understanding who I am, I would have great difficulty with this. We become quite frustrated even when we deal with day things and we're telling people about what's going on and we share with them what's going on and they're like, no, that can't be. I get quite irritated. First and foremost, you're doubting it could ever happen. How could you doubt this could even happen? And this is on a day-to-day thing. But then, what does ultimately happen? Then we become offended because you're doubting me. They turn around, they tell Thomas this, and Thomas is like, this can't be. He says, unless I can have physical proof, unless I can actually go through this system, he says, I will not believe. Doesn't say it can hardly believe. I will not. I in my flesh have to admit, I'd be done. I'd be like, well, who are you on you, Thomas? You know? We're all done with you. I'm not going to deal with you anymore. I tried to tell you, you just don't listen. You just don't get it. How long am I going to beat my head against this wall? Thomas, you're not just doubting me. There's 10 of us here. 10 of us. But it's that amazing. See, and I think that's the other side of the coin that we don't look at. It's that awe-inspiring. It's that amazing. Because dead people don't get up. Thomas saw him taken away. Thomas saw him crucified. Thomas saw the nails go into the hand. Thomas saw, in reality, the side to be pierced. Thomas saw them take him away and bury him. Their hopes, their dreams, quite bluntly, were dashed. They still had this earthly understanding that Jesus was going to be a great king, that he was going to be a great ruler, he was going to bring Israel back to their power position. wasn't supposed to die. Because we counted on this. But Thomas, we saw him. We saw him. He was here. He spoke to us. He breathed upon us. He told us to receive of the Holy Spirit. He told us that we actually are going to have this great power, this great ability as the body of Christ to enter into the world, to bring them a message that will set them free. See, that's what the keys of the kingdom are. We don't run around like some janitor with a big old hoop on our side thinking we're all that because we can open every door. We enter into this world by faith through grace with the sword of God's Word, and we allow the power of His Word spoken. And that yet by speaking this Word, the hearts would be broken and they would believe and receive that redemption. It's not Jesse wielding an axe. It's not me choosing this one and not that one. It is a great honor and a privilege for all of us in corporation to speak the Word of God. We saw this. He came. He shared. He gave. He spoke to us. And do you know, Thomas, can you imagine this? I can just picture it. This is my words in there, so you forgive me. He wasn't mad at us. He didn't come in there and say, "What in the world's wrong with you boys? Why are you hiding up here? And where were you when I needed you the most? Where were you?" He didn't do that. He entered into the room. He gave us an assurance of peace. And then he showed us that it was him directly. And he says, "And now peace, I want that to be given to you." He says, "And as my Father has sent me," he says, "I'm sending you in the same way to be restorers, to be in the power of His Spirit, to enter into this world as demonstration of His kingdom." He breathed on us and He told us that we had this great ability. Thomas, it was awesome. I don't believe it. You know what? Unless I can see this, unless I can feel it, unless I can do this, I will not believe. Jesse in his flesh would have been, "Thomas, you're a fool. I'm all done with you. I'm going to go do my thing, start my own church." That's what we do a lot in the Apostolic Lutheran churches. I know we don't want to hear it. Maybe I'll get a phone call. But the reality of it is when we don't get our own way, we pick up our toys and we go build our own building and we do it again. These guys, they stayed there. It says 8 days later, they were within still. They were still in the upper room. They were scared, in my opinion. It's my opinion, but they did fear the persecution of the Jews. That if any were found supporting Jesus the Christ, that they would crucify Him. But Jesus, He comes back into the room again. Can you imagine this? He enters back into the room. It says the doors were shut. How is this done? I don't know. He's God. He doesn't have to follow our physics, that's for sure. Is it that He was there and He just appeared? Did He walk through the doors? What happened? I don't know. It seems to me that in 16, when Mary is talking to Him, He just appeared. She didn't even know who He was. And if she looked up, she realized it was Him. But He enters into the room. And He brings the consistent message of peace be unto you. Be at peace. Do we know this? Not only for these individuals, do we, each and every one of us here, do we understand what He's speaking about? That now by the finished work of Jesus Christ, there is no more wrath between us and God. That there is peace. Because He has satisfied the debt of our sin. This is a great message. This is an encouragement. It's not just because you're hiding in a room. It's the reality of fallenness has been absolved by the work of Christ. There is now peace. Do we live in that peace? Are we assured of that peace? Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, let me assure you of that peace right now. By His finished work, by His blood, your sins are forgiven. They are seen no more. They are as far from the east as from the west. This is a message that is not only portrayed to a few certain, but rather He paid for the sin debt of the world, and that it would be proclaimed that one would believe and receive. That is great news. We often think that we've got to be the judge of the world, but that's not what it's speaking. In the same Gospel of John, chapter 12, Jesus makes a statement, not me. If you've got a King James and it has red letters in it, technically it means that He spoke these words. Verse 47 and 48, if any man hear my words and believe not, if anyone hears the words that He speaks and does not believe, Jesus says this, I judge him not. I don't judge him. He says, because I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. I came to bring salvation. He came to bring life. But then He comes to this point, and this is the interesting thing. He says, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words has one that does judge him. The word that I have spoken, the same in reality, will judge him in the last day. It is by this word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. We understand that very plainly. And we come to this point where now Thomas is being quite stubborn, obstinate. And Jesse in his own right would say, I'm done with you, Thomas. But these guys, it didn't seem they had that discourse. And then Jesus enters in and says, I still come in peace. Even through your obstinance, Thomas, I come in peace. And then He looks at Thomas and He says very plainly, He says, Thomas, reach hither your finger. Go ahead. He says, you reach hither. He says, reach forward. He says, and you take your finger. And He says, and push it in there. To me, this is love. He loved Thomas so much that He was willing to allow him to do this. Thomas, go ahead. If that's what it's going to take, Thomas, then do this. He says, and you know what? Don't stop there. I heard you talking. Don't think I don't. I know all. He says, now take your hand and reach hither and thrust it in my side. He says, but Thomas, don't do it in a waste of time. Do it believing. Because I am here. And I am here for you. I have specifically come for you, Thomas. It may not say all those words, but who does he reach to when he walks into the room? He says, peace be unto you all. Thomas, come here. I've got business to take care of. I heard you. And I want you. I want you. See, God is not like me in my fallen nature. Because in my fallen nature, I would have pride and I'd say, I don't want to deal with you anymore. You won't listen and you don't believe me. I don't want to deal with you anymore. But God desires to go to the ends of the earth to bring restoration, that we would have this hope. He goes to the ends in reality of laying down His own life so that we could live. He goes to the end of giving this ministry to a goofball like me and a wonderful individual like you. God entrusted us with the power of His Word, but not alone. Remember how He equipped him, as Brother Jim shared with us. This cannot be done outside of the Holy Spirit. He says, do it believing. Become in reality, what He says in Greek, more. He says, become a believer. How does this hit Thomas? He's moved. Can you imagine the love that he felt from his God? Because he went to this degree. Thomas answered and he said unto him, my Lord and my what? God. Trinity. My Lord and my God. Jesus turns around and he says, Thomas, you had a benefit. Doesn't say it quite that way. Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. He says, but now think of how blessed they are that have not physically seen and yet believe. To have that assurance, to have that faith. Faith is a gift of God. We turn around quite often in our day and age and we say, we may not be saying it here because we're all here and it's nice to see every one of you. But in our day and age that we live in, we have a tendency to hear, well, I don't need to go to church. I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. You know what? Okay, I'll give you that. Well, why wouldn't a Christian go to church? As a Christian, we say first and foremost that we are a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ. And as a follower and a believer of Jesus Christ, do we not want to receive His Word? It doesn't have to be from me. It can be from any one of you. Get up here and have a word. That's fine. But the reality of it is, why would we not want to be in the fellowship of other believers to be strengthened, to be encouraged? And as a Christian, why wouldn't we want to bring praise and honor and glory to God? Why would we not want to do that? It seems that we always want to argue that we don't have to. Well, that's fine. But why wouldn't we? Thomas was having a hard time. There's no doubt about it. Thomas did not believe even when the 10 told. There's no doubt about it. But Thomas didn't separate himself from everybody. Now we are believers. They may not all come through these doors. Are we willing to share our testimony, to encourage others, to lift up others? Are we willing in reality not to be Bible thumpers, but to share the living gospel in our life? To be a light. He says there were so many other signs that were done truly in the presence of his disciples. He says, actually, he said you'd have to fill up a whole book just to actually show. He says, but these ones are written. This one I've shared with you. These accounts I've shared with you. He says that you might believe. That you would have this testimony to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I love how he nails this at the end. That believing you may have life in His name. To me that is so awesome when you look at I believe Brother Mark spoke very truthfully when he said, Peter, how bold he became once he received of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 10, I'm going to read a few verses and then we'll close up. We've still got a few minutes. And this talks to the aspect of faith. Acts chapter 10, and I'm going to start from verse 34 and I'll read through 43, continuing in Jesus' name. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of a truth, I perceive God is no respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted to him. The word of God, which is sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, ye know, which was published throughout all of Judea, and began in Galilee after the baptism John preached. How God anointed Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. Who went about doing good healing, all they that were oppressed with the devil, God was with him, speaking of Christ. And we are witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on the tree, speaking of Christ. Him God raised up on the third day, showed himself openly, not to everybody, but unto the witnesses chosen before God. Even to us, who did eat and drink with him after he arose from the dead. Why is that important? Ed spoke about that last week. Because ghosts don't eat. We've seen Casper. When he eats something, it goes to the floor. Jesus was real. He was alive. We ate with him and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commandeth us to preach unto the people and to testify. It is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of the living and the dead. And then he says this very great statement. He says, to him give all the prophets witness. In other words, the whole Testament speaks of him. That through his name, through Christ's name, I'm adding Christ in there, but through his name, whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. Do you see how important this is? That God has entrusted us with the power of his word to enter into the world, to preach the good news of Jesus Christ, of his redemptive work, that yet another person may be able to hear, and that they would be freed, that their sins would be paid. He talks about the keys and how powerful they are. But in reality, it is the power of the Holy Spirit. Where we proclaim this word, one believes, they are released. And when one refuses to believe, then they are bound by that very same word. It is not I. It is the power of God's word by the power of his Holy Spirit. And I am just a worthless servant that has done what I was called to do. And so are you. Worthless isn't the baddest word in the world. Baddest. But anyways, the fact of it is, it just says that we had nothing to input on it. It is God working through us. We are very valuable in other ways. But when it comes to the ministry, it's not I plus God. It is him and him alone. What a powerful testimony. What a powerful part of Scripture. We've heard three different places where it speaks by faith through grace. It is believing. So the question comes back to where I left you off just a few minutes ago. Is it only up to the guy that stands in this pulpit? Absolutely not. I cannot reach the people you can reach. And am I asking you to go out there and beat people over the head with their sin? Absolutely not. That will do no good. But live the gospel, share the gospel, and love them where they're at. For Jesus' name. Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this opportunity to come before your word. We thank you, Father, that you have called us here, but we ask by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would equip us, not only to change within our own lives where you seem fit, but also, Father, to love those around us, that they may be encouraged to change also. Not according to my standard, not according to our standard, but rather, Father, that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you would refine them to the gold they are meant to be. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. The Lord lift up his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.